It is maybe in many ways like, I like to use the analogy of husbands and wives who we have a special kind of unity with one another, even though maybe we don't know what each other are talking about, right? The mind is not engaged sometimes, but we're just together. And so maybe it's that kind of unity, and Paul says that that's special, and you ought to long for that. But if it doesn't teach or edify, if it doesn't engage the mind of your brothers and sisters, even though your heart is edified within you because of this miracle that's happening, then you ought to be quiet because it's not useful. And we don't have access to that kind of spirit connection that's miraculous today. We have, in fact, something that's better. We have the ability to engage in the Spirit and the mind of God because His Word, the Scripture, has been once for all delivered to us, and we have access to His mind as He reveals it to us. And because we engage our minds, like Romans 12 talks about, and we're in that process of being transformed by renewing our mind, we engage in worship. And we connect with the Spirit. And our worship as a result of that, edifying worship, is spiritual. And it is true worship because it teaches and changes us and connects us with the mind and the presence of God Almighty. So today we're going to be talking about, because we cannot engage that spiritual side of us without engaging the mind, how do we do that? And I don't think that we need really necessarily to talk about, we need to think about the words of the songs. We know that, don't we? I think we know in our hearts, and we've talked about probably many times, that if we sing a song without thinking about the words, then it just becomes like a vain utterance, a vain rambling. Maybe the song feels good and we might say it's spirited, but it's not spiritual like we're talking about because it doesn't engage our brains. And so that maybe is the sublime, as we talked about yesterday, from the sublime to the mundane. But the mundane is important too when it comes to engaging our minds. To think about, how do we sing these songs? Do we sing them in a way that's appropriate to the emotional content of the song? Because that's important. Are we singing a fast song that seems to have been designed to be fast and it fits with the victorious words of the song? Do we sing that song at the pace that it maybe ought to be sung? Or do we sing a song that clearly was designed to be sung slowly at a pace that is thoughtful and with a tone that is melodious and most effectively communicates the idea behind that song? Now, God doesn't tell us why He gives us music. But it seems intuitively obvious to me, at least, that music has such a huge part in our worship, not only in our public assemblies, we're going to talk about this some tomorrow, but in the life of a Christian, because God's people have always been and ought to be a singing people. We have that means of communicating with God and to each other because music is powerful, isn't it? We sing these words that are often scriptural words, but we set them to music, and the music is itself, without the words, emotional. And we couple it with those spiritual ideas. We talked about pneuma, breath, yesterday, life. We're literally breathing with one another as we sing these songs. And we're pouring out our emotions. And I believe that's one of the reasons why God makes that a part of the Christian life and the life of a believer, because it is a powerfully effective way of communicating not only the intellectual content of God's Word, but the emotional content of God's Word to one another. We talk about speaking to one another and teaching one another and admonishing one another. So we're going to be talking about, for the next little while, and singing and thinking about how do we sing more effectively. And how do we remind ourselves we ought to be singing to each other and not up to the great white screens. And maybe not even just to the song leader, right? But to one another. It seems like maybe we're afraid to do that. I don't know what. Maybe it's just in the South. Maybe here in the Midwest, everyone is so good at outpouring emotions. I laugh when I say that, because Midwesterners are known to be somewhat stolid and withdrawn folks, right? Because you have to resist winter and crops being eaten. And so maybe we hold ourselves back a little bit more. I like to tell the story of a lady that used to sit behind me. I try to look around when I sing. I've done that even since I was a little kid. And everybody wants to look down at the book during Sing and Be Happy or Hallelujah, like we don't know that song. And so I was trying to look around, find anybody I could make eye contact with during Sing and Be Happy. And I turned around, this lady right behind me, and she was down in her book on the chorus. And she happened to have a weak moment where she looked up. And she caught my eyes, and she jumped about a foot. Because eye contact is scary, isn't it? It's awkward. So we need to think about how we can sing more effectively and how we can sing with more attention to the meaning of the words and to one another. And some people might say, well, if you can talk about musical kinds of things like how to sing and how music ought to be sung, that's music-y kind of stuff. And I don't want to know anything about music. I don't have to take voice lessons and learn how to read music in order to be a good Christian and worship right. And that's true, it is. And I'm not advocating that we go out and become music theorists and learn how to read music and become Pavarottis. But I'll use this analogy. You don't have to learn how to read to be a good Christian, do you? Is that a spiritual requirement to be a Christian, to learn how to read or to have good grammar? It's not, is it? You could be a wonderful Christian and learn from the teaching of others, and maybe even now we have technology, get audio books and listen to the Bible. But you would agree, wouldn't you, that if you want to be the best Bible student you can be, it would be of great value to you as a Christian to know how to read the Scripture. And maybe to understand grammar better so that you can read through Paul's very long sentences and figure out what in the world he's talking about. I knew a man who was illiterate and he had gone to prison, and he learned to read while he was in prison. He had become a Christian before he went into prison. And he learned to read not because he wanted to pass the time, but because he made the commitment that I want to become the best Bible student I can, and I'm gonna read. I want to learn to read so that I can read my Bible on my own. Now, he didn't have to do that, but he did it because it was... And so wouldn't you agree that if we could sing better and could do simple things like sing at the same speed as each other, that would be valuable in edifying each other? And so those are the kinds of things that we're going to think about and talk about today. I want to talk about maybe some of the different kinds of songs that we sing for a few minutes and sing a few of them, because just the simple matter of how we sing different kinds of songs can impact how effectively we're communicating ideas. We're going to sing Soldiers of Christ Arise. A lot of the songs that we sing intuitively come out the way that they ought to. Soldiers of Christ Arise is a marching song, isn't it? That is sung with great energy and almost as though there's a drum beating inside us as we sing that song. And it's easy to sing those kinds of songs. Stand as we sing Soldiers of Christ Arise. Soldiers of Christ Arise and put your armor on.
strong in the strength which God supplies. Strong in the strength which God supplies through His beloved Son. Strong in the Lord of hosts and in His mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus trusts, who in the strength of Jesus trusts is more than conqueror.
All right, so I'm going to stop you again. If you weren't here last night, I'll remind you we're going to stop every once in a while to talk about and think about what we're doing together. This is just as a physical facility is a great place, and some folks have told me the walls were designed even so that the sound travels and that the acoustics are wonderful. But there is a physical challenge, isn't there, with the screens over here and the song leader here, so we want to make sure that we're listening to each other and all singing at the same pace. And it's not basses here, it's basses everywhere. But basses generally have a tendency, particularly when they're singing by themselves, to take over the pace of the song and slow it down just a little bit. Because it's hard to sing strong in the strength which God supplies. We want to hit every one of those notes like a timpani drum. And we have to remind ourselves, basses and tenors, that we want to keep up with the rest of the congregation. Strong in the strength which God supplies. And follow that line through at the pace that we're all singing it together. Let's just try to sing that third verse, and we may stop at the end. But concentrate especially on the pacing there and staying together as we sing it.
Stand then in His great might with all His strength endued. But take to arm you for the fight. But take to arm you for the fight. The panoply of God. Leave no unguarded place, no weakness of the soul. Take every virtue, every grace. Take every virtue, every grace, and fortify the whole. That having all things done, and all your conflicts past, you may o'ercome through Christ the Lord. You may o'ercome through Christ alone and stand entire at last.
These are not technical terms that anybody's made up. It's just the way I like to think about them in my own mind. That's a marching song. It's one of those militaristic songs. We have many of those. We're marching to Zion. There is a habitation. Many of our praise songs, like number 2, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah, has the similar kind of feeling. So I kind of clump together marching songs and praise songs that make it very simple to sing with that kind of spirit and that kind of fervor. They're loud and high and quick songs. Let's sing Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah.
Doso. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. From the heavens praise His name. Praise Jehovah in the highest. All His angels praise proclaim. All His hosts together praise Him. Sun and moon and stars on high. Praise Him, O ye hymn of heavens, and ye floods above the sky. Let them praises give Jehovah, for His name alone is high. And His glory is exalted, far above the earth and sky.
Let them praises give Jehovah. They were made at His command. Them forever He established. His decree shall ever stand. From the earth, O praise Jehovah. All ye floods, ye dragons all, storm and hail and snow and vapors, stormy winds that hear Him call. Let them praises give Jehovah, for His name alone is high. And His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. All ye fruitful trees and cedars, all ye hills and mountains high, creeping things and beasts and cattle, birds that in the heavens fly, kings of earth and all ye people, princes great, earth's judges all, praise His name, young men and maidens, aged men and children small. Let them praises give Jehovah, for His name alone is high. And His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. Go ahead and be seated. Next we're going to sing As the Deer. So there are some challenges that come along with singing those kinds of fast songs. That takes a lot of work, doesn't it? But your diaphragm naturally engages when you're singing at that volume and at that pace. And so for a group this size, and with the looking up at the screens, and just with the time it takes for the sound to travel from the song leader's voice to the microphone, and then through the sound system, and then through the speakers to the back of the room, there's always a little delay, and that's more challenging the bigger the group is. And so because you have a blessing and a challenge here in this group, the size of the group means you've got a number of voices which enables you to sing with such volume and vigor. There are a lot of little congregations that just would love to have the asset that you have here, just the number of voices and the volume that you can produce. But along with that comes the challenge of staying together. The bigger the group, the harder it is for folks over here to sing with folks over here and folks in the back. If you're sitting in the back, you've just got to make the decision. I am going to make sure I keep my eye on the song leader and make sure I'm not just depending on my ear, because we've got to listen to each other. I've sung before with big groups of people just out in we'll be out somewhere, maybe at a camp or in a devotional somewhere, a big group of folks, and somebody's leading the song on this side of a giant circle of people, and it ends up we singing around by the end, right? Because the folks over here are ending half a verse after these over here, because you're singing with such spirit, but you forget to listen and sing together with one another. So that's going to be a real challenge here. And an ongoing challenge for this group is to make sure we're singing together. Another challenge with softer songs, like As the Deer, is to keep that same kind of energy and focus while you're singing a song that is softer. It's easy, isn't it, to have power in your diaphragm and vocal support when you're singing, "Soldiers of Christ, arise!" It naturally tenses up, doesn't it? But when we're singing As the Deer Pants for the Water, we tend to sit back a little bit and, as the deer pants for the water, and we have no support, right? And that song will tend to go flat. But we have to remind ourselves, I need to sing this song with as much passion, even though it's a quiet passion. The example I always like to use is is it works for young people. And for us older folks, we can remember. Back in those days, you know, when you had that first special someone that you meet, and that you get that little giddy feeling in the pit of your stomach, and your stomach tenses up. That's emotion. And all emotion has that same effect. The release of various chemicals in the body and the tension in the diaphragm. And you ever think about it? That giddy, lovey feeling is the same physical response as anger or soldiers of Christ arise, passion. It's all the same chemical and physical response. It's just the way our mind is using it. And so our soul panting for the water, or for God as the deer pants for the water, has to have that same kind of emotional intensity, but we've got to work to make that intensity come out as we sing it. So I want everybody to sit up straight. Go ahead. I see everybody wiggling in your seat just a little bit. And I want you to close your eyes and think about that deer panting for that water and the longing that we have for God. And see if that doesn't tense up your stomach a little bit. And let's sing this song with that intensity.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Number 13, Alleluia. Both of these songs are in a category that I like to call melodious or devotional songs. They're songs that are short and simple and devotional in nature. And we understand that they're to be sung softly and smoothly, but that shouldn't change the intensity with which we sing them. Number 13, Alleluia. Again, I know we all know this well enough. We shouldn't be staring up at the screen as though we've got to remember the words to this song. First verse, there's only one word.
Noso, Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
Stop us right there. That word, can anybody tell me what that means? Alleluia. praise Jehovah, and I appreciate you using the name. It's probably a mispronunciation of that name, but it's the best we can do because the Hebrews didn't pronounce it for so long for fear that they would blaspheme it when they would get to the name that in Hebrew is spelled YHWH, which we have sort of transliterated Jehovah, or some people, scholars say, may have been pronounced Yahweh or even Yehu. We don't know. The covenant name of God given to Moses when Moses asked, "Who should I say sent me?" God says, "I am." It is from the Hebrew verb, "I am," Yah, and that's His name, Yah, or as we say it in English, Jehovah. So when we're singing Alleluia, we have the mighty privilege to pronounce that name that the Hebrews were afraid to pronounce. Even when they read Scripture, they would replace it with Hashem, the name. And so as we're singing Alleluia, think about the intensity with which and the fearfulness with which we ought to pronounce a praise to the name of God. Yah. Let's sing that first verse again, and we don't need to backtrack to that and then go into the second verse because we know the first verse. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. A simple idea so softly and yet with such fervor. Another category of songs that we sing are what I like to call narrative songs or lyrical songs. In the supplement, number 10, "My Eyes Have Seen Your Glory." You all know this here? Have you sung it a few times at least? There's a whole category, particularly of some of the newer songs, that are written from the perspective of somebody else and tell that person's story from Scripture. There are other kinds of narrative songs that tell a story or take us through a sequence of events so that you can't sing just a part of the song. That song that I like to think of is None of Self. You know that song? Song leader once I heard started leading None of Self and led verses 1, 2, and 3. And then stop. That's not a song you can do that on. You can't end with most of thee and some of self and just stop there, right? You've got to get to the end of that song. And there are a number of songs that are like that. A song called Rabboni, which is sung from the perspective of Mary Magdalene when she comes to the tomb and she's singing about how downtrodden and disheartened she is, but she gets there and she sees Jesus and can't believe that it's Him. And the chorus rings out, Rabboni, my teacher and my God. Another song, Thomas's song, tells the story of the resurrection from the perspective of Thomas, and he's sitting there saying, I can't believe that this has happened, and my brethren have told me that he's back, but I won't believe it until I touch him and speak to him. And then in the second verse, there he is, and he reaches out his hands and he touches him, and the song ends, I proudly say with brazen cry, you are my Lord and my God. And this song is one of those. My eyes have seen your glory. It's taken from the perspective of one of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, who speaks with Jesus, and in the chorus it says that my eyes have seen your glory and my hands have touched your face. My heart still burns within my breast from the warmth of your embrace, echoing those words. Did our heart not burn within us when He was speaking these words to us? And they realized who it was that they were speaking to. So let's sing, My Eyes Have Seen Your Glory. I have seen you walk down a dusty road. I have watched you stumble from my heavy load. In my heart I struggled, but I always knew the Holy Redeemer from heaven was you. My eyes have seen your glory. My hands have touched your face. My heart still burns within my breast from the warmth of your embrace. My eyes have seen your glory, my life forever changed. And when this journey comes to an end, I'll rest in your endless grace. Stop before we go on to the second verse of this song. This song shares many things in common with the two previous songs that we sang. It is, though it is a long song with many words, intended to be sung melodiously. You notice that I called it a lyrical song or a ballad. There are the term for songs that are long and tell a story, lyrical ballads. That word, when we hear lyrical, it has a connotation, doesn't it? It's something that ought to be sung smoothly and like a ballad, though it tells a story. The meaning behind ballad is not that it's smooth musically, but that it tells a story. And yet, most of these story songs, because they have a lot of words in them, they're meant to flow like that. And we have to sing them almost as though we would speak them in telling the story. So when we get to the chorus, my eyes have seen your glory, that all flows. And many of the newer songs that are written are meant to be sung with that kind of flow. And so the tenors and the altos, you have an echo part. You have to make sure that you flow in the same fashion. My hands have touched your face. Those notes should all flow together and not be individual like that, because it's not like a marching song. It is a song that tells a story, and we speak our way through that. Almost as though we were up and teaching a lesson to everyone else. And so we want those words to flow and the pace to just go as we do that. Let's sing verse 2 as we try to keep that in mind. I have seen you heal the lame, the blind. I have watched your goodness, so pure, so kind. In my heart I crumble when I watch you die, but now I rejoice, for I know you're alive, alive. My eyes have seen your glory. My hands have touched your face. My heart still burns within my breast from the warmth of your embrace. My eyes have seen your glory. My life forever changed. And when this journey comes to an end, I'll rest in your endless grace. Did you hear the difference in the way that chorus flowed together the second time we sang that? There are older songs that we sing that are similar. Number 123, the 90 and 9. I've been in places where they just say, well, I don't lead that song because it takes so long to get through all five of these verses. But if we remember that this is a song that tells a story and should be sung in that same lyrical fashion, then this song is a joy to sing. And it tells the biblical story of Jesus' parable about the 90 and 9. So number 123, the 90 and 9. Let's remember to sing it that way, as though we're telling a story smoothly and lyrically all the way through. There were 90 and 9 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. But one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold. Away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care, away from the tender shepherd's care. Now you're sitting here looking at me saying, well, I've never sung that song that way. Is that a little fast? You've never sung this song. Well, that may be the problem then. Well, that may be a little much to throw at you then, five verses at that pace with a song you've never sung. So we'll move on to the next one. What's that? Well, let's do that then. Let's lead the second verse a little bit more slowly, and we'll have a chance for you to actually read some of the notes, because this is another challenge when you're learning a song up here. You only get to see a few words at a time, and it's tough to move along that quickly. So let's go a little more slowly with verse 2. What's that? We sing. I broke the ice. Okay. A little slowly on verse 2, and then we'll bring it up to speed. Lord, thou hast here thy 90 and 9. Are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, "This of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. I go to the desert to find my sheep." A little bit faster on verse 3. "But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, ere he found his sheep that was lost. Far out in the desert he heard its cry. 'Twas sick and helpless and ready to die. 'Twas sick and helpless and ready to die." A little bit faster on verse 4. "Lord, whence are those blood drops all the way that marks out the mountain's track? They were shed for the one who had gone astray, ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. They're pierced tonight by many a thorn." All right, and now up to full speed on the last verse. "But all through the mountains thunder dream, but up from the rocky steep, there rose a glad cry to the gate of heaven, 'Rejoice, I have found my sheep.' And the angels echoed around the throne, 'Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own.'" So a verse with a song with five verses like that might look like it would take forever, but when it's a lyrical song like that and sung very quickly, it goes along beautifully. And it doesn't it communicate so much to hear the words of that parable spoken in song? Number five in the supplement, farther along, another style of music that we typically sing that can't be sung like these other songs that we've sung. Farther along is there are a couple of categories of song that are what are commonly known in the secular world as gospel songs, right? We sometimes call them Southern gospel. And they have an easier time with songs like this in Tennessee and Kentucky than we Midwesterners do. And other songs that are spirituals, the songs that came out of the slave culture in the 1800s. And if we try to sing those songs the same way that we sing other songs, we will rob them of their full emotional content. So let's sing about this. And don't be afraid. This is the kind of song that the notes mostly matter, but you bend them some. And the timing, maybe you bend that a little bit too as we sing these kinds of songs. And that's okay. Because the musical notation is an attempt to write down what people were actually singing before the song was written down. And I've been to a couple of congregations that were predominantly African American where they would sing a song in a book. And it didn't sound anything like what was written there that we sing, because all it was an attempt of somebody in Indiana or Missouri trying to write down what they sang, and we rob it of its soul. And so they sing it the way it's always been sung. And this is maybe a little soulful song, and so let's try to sing it with that feeling. Let's go ahead and stand up as we sing this song too.
Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Farther along, we'll know all about it.
why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Now let's just go back and try to sing that chorus one more time. And we're going to slow it down, maybe more slowly than you'll ever sing it again. But I want us to try to sing it as soulfully as we know how to do. And don't be afraid to close your eyes and to think about the pain that went into writing this song and this expression that I don't understand what is going on in this world, but we will understand it someday, although we suffer here in this world. We'll sing the chorus in as heartfelt a way as we know how. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. All right, I want to teach you a song. Go ahead and be seated. That we learned several years ago when we were doing evangelistic work in Jamaica. It's another song that's similar in style to that. There are many in the hymn book as well that we sing that have that kind of feeling to them. But it's always easier to sing these kinds of songs when you don't have to look at the words and the notes, because you remember that these were not notes and words that were written by God, and so if we don't get them syncopated just right, it'll probably be okay. And in fact, we may even sing more heartfelt if we sing it without thinking about those kinds of things. I've never heard a congregation ever that sung the last line of Sing and Be Happy right, and we'll never change it, and that's okay. We just don't sing it the way it's written. You may not have even noticed that. And if you try to fix it, it will be harder to sing. So there's no reason to do that. Those notes don't matter. They're just written there for our help. This song is called Great Change. And it's really simple, so I'm going to teach it to you without any words, and you'll be able to get it. I'm going to sing. Just listen to the chorus, and then you can sing it with me almost instantly, I bet. It's been a great change since I was born. It's been a great change, Lord, since I was born. It's been a great change since I was born. It's been a great change since I was born. Sing that with me. It's been a great change since I was born. It's been a great change, Lord, since I was born. It's been a great change since I was born. It's been a great change since I was born. And the verses are very simple as well. They're pretty repetitive. The first verse is, just listen. Some things I used to do, I will do them no more. Some things I used to do, I will do them no more. Some things I used to do, I will do them no more. It's been a great change since I was born. Sing with me. Some things I used to do, I will do them no more. Some things I used to do, I will do them no more. Some things I used to do, I will do them no more. It's been a great change since I was born. It's been a great change since I was born. It's been a great change, Lord, since I was born. It's been a great change since I was born. It's been a great change since I was born. And then the continuing verses are just as simple. Some things I used to say, I will say them no more. Some places I used to go, I will go there no more. Some friends I used to know, I will know them no more. And the Jamaicans, they'd sing 10 verses and add some things I'd... And one brother, he's Jamaica, so he said, some things I used to smoke, I will smoke them no more. And I said, I don't believe I'd have told that one, brother. But there it is. So that is it's a wonderful song, and songs like that, we understand that style, and it draws a lot out of us, doesn't it? And then there are a lot of what some people call the new songs, like number 124, Be Exalted, O God. You don't know that song here, do you? I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the... No? Okay. Well, a lot of these songs, I don't know any other way to describe them except that they're syncopated. And they're new. And that bothers some people. You know, they sing on the... Instead of every time my hand goes down, we sing a word. We go down and then we sing on the offbeat. We sing up. And those sound too new. And so I've had folks say, I don't like those new songs. They're just too new. Well, and that's true. They are new. But what I always like to remind folks of is Sing and Be Happy was new at one point. Right? There was a time when folks moved from Gregorian chant and singing in Latin to singing in their native language. And some people said, that's bad. And there are some folks... I can imagine a brother or sister, whenever Sing and Be Happy was written, or songs like that started to be written, somebody said, there are two different groups of people singing different words at the same time. God is not the author of confusion. This song is unscriptural. And yet, we've moved past that, haven't we? And we sing and be happy. And so, we sing all of these varied music with different kinds of tone. As long as the song has a scriptural idea that teaches something or that praises God, and it has music that is appropriate to the meaning of the song, and isn't just ludicrously musical in such a way that it's impossible for a group of 300 people to sing it together, then that song should be okay, shouldn't it? And so number 124 is an example of that. I'll sing through this just once, and you listen so you can hear what it sounds like, and then we'll try to sing it together. This is what it sounds like. Do me, I will praise You, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of You among the people. For great is Your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the sky. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let Your glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let Your glory be over all the earth. Now, I exaggerated and enunciated that a little bit more than I normally would so you could hear it. You hear how that's very syncopated? The non-technical term that I like to use is it's bouncy. It bounces. You notice that? It just moves right along like that. We're going to sing it at a slower pace than we might normally, and then we'll repeat it up to speed. Let's try to sing it together. A little slowly. I will praise You, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of You among the people. For great is Your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let Your glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let Your glory be over all the earth. Let's try to sing that a little bit faster. Not quite up to the whole speed, but half speed maybe now. Or three-quarter speed. One more time. Here we go. I will praise You, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of You among the people. For great is Your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let Your glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let Your glory be over all the earth. Good. Everybody sit up straight. I know it's hard. We're reading a new song. We're concentrating on the words and all of those notes that are in the wrong places. Let's take a deep breath now and sing this a little bit faster. Domi. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the people. For great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. It's a great one-verse song that there are so few words. You probably sing it 3 or 4 times. Everybody will have it memorized. A song leader could just, when it's time to start, get up and start singing that song as he's walking up without any music up there, and everyone would be fine. It's a wonderful way to start an assembly. There are many songs that we know well enough that we can do that. Another one that's similar to this is number 13 in the supplement. You are the song that I sing. Have you guys sung this here before? Okay. Again, same thing. It's a little bit syncopated. You sing it at a pretty fast pace. You are the words and the music. You are the song that I sing. You are the melody. You are the harmony. Praise to your name I will bring. You are the Lord of lords. You are the mighty God. You are the King of all kings. So now I give back to you the songs that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing. Again, because of that syncopation, it just moves along at a fast pace. Let's try to sing that one more time, a little bit faster, and let's just keep on that beat. Ready? You are the words and the music. You are the song that I sing. You are the melody. You are the harmony. Praise to your name I will bring. You are the Lord of lords. You are the mighty God. You are the King of all kings. So now I give back to you the songs that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing. So we've talked about, and I know I said we're going to take a break. We're already at the hour, and so we're not going to do a break, but we're going to go a few more minutes, if that's all right. Do I have your permission to do that? Okay. Number 626 in the book, It Is Well With My Soul. It's not just a matter of knowing that there are different kinds of songs that were intended to be sung with different kinds of emotions that because of that are good for certain kinds of words or types of songs. There are a lot of songs that are in the great middle ground, aren't there? That are just medium-paced songs with wonderful ideas that aren't striking like that. And some of them, the songwriters themselves, give us dynamic markings like P, which is Italian for piano, which means soft. Or PP, which is double soft. And PPP, which is extra double soft. Or F, which is forte, which means loud, or FF, which means really loud, or FFF. You all have seen those before, right? MF or MP, which means moderately soft, moderately loud. You've seen crescendos that do this, or decrescendos that do this. And that little bird's eye thing that we paused on that's called a fermata, where the song leader gets to hold it out as long as he wants. And those kinds of dynamic markings where it says, sing the chorus more quickly. And we're used to that. There are numerous opportunities for us to do that in songs that don't have those kinds of dynamic markings. And again, we don't do it because it's musical, although it is musical. We don't do it just to be musical. We can do those kinds of things because music is designed to work that way. And if an idea in a song can be enunciated better through doing something like that with the music, why wouldn't we do that? And so your song leaders may from time to time make those kinds of decisions that this idea will be taught more and will mean more if we sing this line faster. So when you see a song leader says, I want to slow down the chorus at the end, don't think, oh, he's just trying to be showy. He's trying to think through, how can I make this song as meaningful as possible for us this morning or this evening, and how can I stir my brethren up to think about the words of these songs with this form of you can't call it any other thing, art that God has given us that expresses the human soul in such a unified way. We're going to make some changes in It Is Well With My Soul, and I won't even tell you what they are. They'll be intuitively obvious to you, I think, as we sing it. Let's stand as we sing it. We'll do all four verses. No, mi soul, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Trials should come. Let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed His own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to His cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul, and Lord, faith shall be sigh, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend, even so. My soul. You all were singing very musically in that song. But I hope we can all see that the point is we were communicating with one another about the state of our soul in reference to the plan of salvation and the return of the Lord. And when we make the commitment to engage our bodies and our minds to communicate that to one another, it does something, doesn't it? To us, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, and it brings the group closer together. And it is evangelistic. And we don't say we want to sing better because we want to be more evangelistic. And so part of our evangelism program is we're going to train everybody in music so that people are impressed when they come from outside. Hey, that's a good singing group. I want to be a part of that. It is when we worship God with our hearts and with our minds spiritually, people see it and they perceive a life that they don't have. And so we sing that way, and it cannot but help to grow Christians and to convert sinners because they see in us what God designed would be within us. And I hope that you've seen and felt that this morning. I had a whole list of new songs that we were going to learn for today. If we would like to take another 5 or 10 minutes, we can learn a few of those. If you all are done with me, then that's okay. We always say the goal of a presenter or a speaker or a teacher or a preacher is you get done before your audience does. And so I don't want to not be done before you are. Would you like to learn a few newer songs? Okay, then we'll do that. And of course, those of you who are ready to get out of here, you're afraid to speak up because that's not a nice thing to do. But we'll do a few of those anyway. Can we skip through some of these and go forward to some of the? I know some of these are probably songs that you've sung. I just want to sing through them. Let's do. I think the first one on my list that's in the supplement is "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." It's number 4 in the supplement. You all know that here, right? We'll sing through a couple you know and maybe a couple you don't. Again, another marching song. No soul in heavenly armor will enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. Glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of His blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. Well, that's not too new. You all know that well enough to sing without the music. Number 7, Hosanna. I think that's the next one on the list they've got back there. You all know this one pretty well too. Hosanna, that's where we'll be right there.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name. We with hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God, Hosanna in the highest. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God, Hosanna in the highest.
Now, just as a way, by way of constant reminder, that what is the idea behind this song? That Hosanna, you remember the triumphant scene when Jesus is marching into the city and they think it's the time when he's going to proclaim his kingdom and lead them out of slavery to the Roman Empire. And so they were laying down the palm fronds and they, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And they were shouting that song. And of course, the kingdom that he set up was not what they expected. It was far better than anything they could have imagined. And now, having hindsight, how ought we to shout Hosanna in the highest? Now, I want to do something a little unconventional here. I want you to shout with me. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Will you do that with me? Let's shout it. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Now, I want everybody to stand up. And I'm going to do something else unconventional. I want you to turn in and face each other. Everybody on this side, look over here. And everybody on this side, look over here. This may not be something that you would do on a Sunday morning. I'm doing this as an object lesson, though. I want you to make eye contact with each other. And I want us to sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. As though we are proclaiming praise to the triumphant Savior who is establishing and has established His kingdom.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God, Hosanna in the highest.
All right, you can go ahead and be seated. That is the awkwardest thing ever, isn't it? It is. But it's a skill, eye contact, and the ability to sing to one another and share these ideas with one another is a skill that I believe we desperately ought to desire. To get over that awkwardness and out of our comfort zone and to be able to express to... And don't be afraid to let the excitement or the sorrow or the heartfelt outpour. I know it's embarrassing. You sing as the deer and close your eyes and nod your head. And it's as though someone is sneaking into your private moments when you're praying in your closet and you're genuinely pouring your heart out to God. You don't want people to see that. And yet this is a body of believers who dwell here together in this place and work together. And we ought to be able to pour those kinds of things out to one another. Number 90, I should have said this before I jabbered on for a few minutes so you'd have time to get there. Number 90 in the supplement, Come Share the Lord. Is that a song that you all know here? It's a wonderful song for the Lord's Supper. And it is in keeping with this idea of fellowship that we've been talking about and being with Jesus and sharing Him. And it's on that same night that He prayed that prayer that He instituted this supper, so that we could have this symbol of literally taking Him within ourselves. Have you ever thought about how incredible God's plan is and that He would give us something so simple that expresses that idea that Jesus prayed about so deeply, this partaking of Him? We call it communion, this this community that we have together because we're sharing in this emblem of the body of the Lord, which signifies that we are one in the body of Christ. We'll try to sing this together. It's a simple song, and I think you'll be able to read through it fairly simply. Again, a very lyrical, melodious song. We gather here in Jesus' name, whose love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord. So just a real quick note on the notes there, because I heard some disagreement. It's, come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord. So that cup is a little lower. Let's sing that. Come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here, for everyone belongs. Finding our forgiveness here, we in turn forgive all wrongs. Now a little bit faster, we'll sing at the pace that it's normally sung. He joins us here, He breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord. We are now a family of which the Lord is head. Though unseen, He meets us here in the breaking of the bread. We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of the new and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord. So this song's a little bit different maybe than others were used to singing. You sing the verse and then the chorus twice, but it ends on the third verse without another chorus, because that chorus is designed to lead into the next verse. Just a little note on notes. So we're all in agreement. No one is a stranger here, for everyone belongs. Finding our forgiveness here, we in turn forgive all wrongs. I noticed some of us were singing a little bit different on that give. So let's sing, we in turn forgive all wrongs. Just listen to me. We in turn forgive all wrongs. Sing that with me. We in turn forgive all wrongs. And then it leads back into the verse. We'll do that again tomorrow so that we can learn that a little bit better. I know one time through is pretty challenging. Number 111, Holy Ground. This, of course, is a metaphor. We're not standing on holy ground the way Moses was standing on holy ground. But the idea in this song, again, is the shadow and the real. The words of the song are, this is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground, for the Lord is present, and where He is holy. And I think that's a profound song that teaches us again about that idea of the goal of the plan of salvation, that God would be willing to allow us into His presence, and because we are gathered together and He promises us that His presence will be amongst us, that we are in the midst of holiness, that image from Hebrews chapter 10. walking into the Holy of Holies through the veil of Jesus' flesh and standing in His presence. Imagine what that will be when we see the ultimate realization of that in heaven.
This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where He is holy. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where He is holy.
Sing that a little bit faster this time through.
You are a holy God, a perfect and holy God. We will come before You with hearts made clean by Jesus' blood. You are a holy God, a perfect and holy God. We will come before You with hearts made clean by Jesus' blood.
A beautiful song that expresses that idea together. I am always stricken when I go to different places and we think about these things and we work on these things, how moving it is to be with different groups of folks who share the faith that I share. And as different as people are, because, you know, I don't know if you've heard, but people in New Jersey are different from you people. And people in the deep South are different from Midwesterners. And those crazy Christians out in California, they're just different than we are here. And yet, we sing these songs together and we share the same biblical teachings and we share the songs together, and our hearts all move in the same way. Isn't that striking? And we haven't talked about the gospel message today. We've been talking about a lot of mundane things, how fast and how slow we sing and the way we sing different kinds of songs. And yet, even in the midst of that kind of a workshop atmosphere, it may be that you've been sitting here and you've been moved today by the words in these songs and with the commitment with which these Christians have sung them because they believe them. And you have heard parts of the gospel message in these songs. We have a tradition among most of our brethren that we don't like to end any time together that we spend like this without offering an invitation to you. If you're in the number and you are thinking about the state of your soul, or if you're a Christian here and as we sing these songs, you've been moved to think about what the words of these songs are saying, the scriptural ideas behind them, and you've realized, I haven't been living a life that is full of spirit, and I want that to change. Or I have been having some troubles, and I've been holding those back, and I'm wearing a mask from my brethren, and I want the prayers of the saints here. So if you're not a Christian and you want to be a Christian today, and you know what that means and how you need to respond to that, or if you want to learn more about that, or if you are a Christian and you want to get back on track, or you want the prayers of the saints here, we're going to sing a song in just a moment. We're going to sing a very simple song that we all know, God is so good. And we're going to invite you as we stand and sing that song to come forward and sit on one of these front two rows. And one of the brethren here will be glad to sit down and talk with you about your needs as you respond. Please do that as we stand and sing. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. I praise His name. I praise His name. I praise His name. I praise His name. He's so good to me. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. He's so real to me. He saves my soul. He saves my soul. He saves my soul. He saves my soul. And He made me whole. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good.